Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Please grant us now to understand it, to believe it, to take it to our hearts, and to change our lives so that we may become more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. My son Robbie has a problem. Should he support Wales or England? He has one Welsh parent and one English parent. He also owns Welsh merchandise, like a Welsh rugby shirt, a Welsh flag. He has a picture of the 2005 Grand Slam winning Welsh rugby team on his wall. He also has English merchandise, an English football shirt, and so on. And what he does is, when he's in Wales, Robbie supports the Welsh. And when he goes to stay with his grandparents in Harrow, he wears his England top and he supports the English. Robbie's rather like Prince Charles, only in this respect. When he's in England, Prince Charles can be the Duke of Cornwall. When he's in Wales, he can be the Prince of Wales. He has dual nationality. Now, Christians have a dual identity. It's not that we're half Welsh and half English. It's much more serious than that. We have a double identity. We're saints, totally forgiven, totally new people in Jesus. And we're sinners, rotten to the core of our being. And just as Robbie has to decide, am I supporting the Welsh today or the English? We have to decide every day, am I following my Jesus nature or am I following my Satan nature? That's what Galatians 5, 16 to 25 is all about. Let me quickly put these verses in context. The Apostle Paul is not best pleased with the Galatian church, to put it mildly. Chapter 1, verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Paul is furious with them because they've been saved. They've become Christians simply by trusting completely in Jesus' death on the cross in their place. Now they're trying to add good works to Jesus. In other words, they're saying, yes, Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus can only save you if you add such and such to his cross. If you add Jewish circumcision. If you add rule keeping. And Paul says, no, no, no. You're not saved by good works. Circumcision cannot save you. You'll never make yourself good enough for God. Only Jesus can save you. You must trust only in his death on the cross as your ticket to heaven. However, just because good works can't save you doesn't make that an excuse to lead a sinful life. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Now that Jesus has saved us, he expects us to live holy lives. And that brings us back to the battle I talked about at the beginning. You have a spiritual nature, if you're a Christian, which wants to follow Jesus. And you have a sinful nature, which wants to follow the devil. We're all the same. We all face this battle. Now then, Which nature are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? Jesus or the devil? It's as stark as that. In the first half of chapter 5, Paul puts it like this. You can follow Jesus and be free. Free from the power of sin. Free from the condemnation of the law. Or you can follow the devil and be enslaved, trapped by your sinful nature, condemned by the Old Testament law. I want to encourage you tonight to follow Jesus and to be free. I've got three headings. Live by the Spirit, follow the Spirit, and bear the fruit of the Spirit. Firstly then, live by the Spirit. I mentioned earlier that Robbie is quite a fan of rugby. I have a clever uncle who made Robbie a set of rugby posts to go in our back garden, so that Robbie can pretend to be one of his heroes. He's not sure if he's being Gavin Henson when he kicks for goal, or Johnny Wilkinson. The truth is, he's not actually very good at kicking. And even though he styles his hair like Gavin Henson, and he copies Johnny Wilkinson's stance, you know, all this business, before he kicks for goal, he still misses. Well, he is only 6. Imagine, however, if by some miracle, the spirit of Gavin Henson or the spirit of Johnny Wilkinson came into Robbie. Imagine it. So that every time he placed the ball, took his run up, and struck the ball, it was not Robbie kicking at all, but the spirit of Gavin Henson working within Robbie to make him the best kicker in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, brothers and sisters, that's sort of how it is for us. Every day when you commit yourself to living for Christ, it's no longer you struggling on your own, striving in your own strength to be holy. It's the Spirit of Jesus living in you, working in you, producing the likeness of Jesus in you. Look back at chapter 2, verse 20. Can you see it there, chapter 2, verse 20? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. The old Chris Jenkins is dead. When Jesus died on the cross, I died on the cross. Verse 24 of our passage puts it like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. The old sinner is dead and gone. And now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live is the life of Jesus flowing through me. It's as if I have Jesus' blood in my veins, Jesus' thoughts in my mind, Jesus' words in my mouth. That's your privileged position, Christian believer. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, lives in you and works in you so that you are like Jesus. And you have a choice. You can either cooperate with this and say, yes, Lord, more of your Spirit, more of your life in me. Make me more like Jesus. Or you can go back to the stinking corpse of your sinful nature. And you can try and revive it. You can fondle it. You can take it back down off the cross where it belongs. You can give it the kiss of life. Don't be so stupid. Don't fondle a corpse. Leave the sinful nature alone. And do what Paul says, verse 16. Live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Say to God, empower me to live by the Spirit. When I go to school, when the grubby jokes are being made, empower me to be like Jesus. Fill me with the Spirit of Jesus. When I'm in the situation of temptation, when I'm on my own with my boyfriend or girlfriend, when I'm in the party and the booze is flowing, help me, Lord, to live by the Spirit. And if you do that, verse 16 says, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's impossible to be sexually immoral or to get drunk when you are saying to Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. If you're going to gratify the desires of the sinful nature, really, first, you have to choose to say no to Jesus. There's that moment of decision, isn't there? What do you think? Am I going Jesus' way or the devil's way? Because verse 17, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Your sinful nature wants to be greedy or unkind or immoral or prayerless or cold towards God. That's the problem. You cannot serve two masters. Either you will obey your sinful nature or your Jesus nature. Now the reality is, we all fail. Verse 17. The two natures are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. We're all the same. We all want to follow Jesus. We all give in to the sinful nature. We do not do what we want. Paul put it this way in Romans 7, verse 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I hate the things I do. I sometimes hate myself for the things I do. Ever asked questions like these? Why did I say that? How could I have been so stupid? Why did I watch that film? Why did I drink so much? Why did I take those drugs? Why did I look at that on the internet? We all ask ourselves questions like that all the time. And the devil loves to remind us of what we've done wrong. Paul could be so honest about sin in Romans 7. But how does Romans 8 begin? I'll tell you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe tonight you feel utterly condemned. You know you've messed up. Jesus says to you, I know you messed up. I knew all along you would mess up. And I love you anyway. I died for you. There is no condemnation for you. There is total forgiveness for you Because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus shed his blood to pay for the sin of failures like you and me. So live by the Spirit. Secondly, follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. There are two ways of attempting to be holy in the Bible. A, follow the Spirit. B, follow the law. Following the Spirit works. Following the law doesn't work. When you're led by the Spirit, you're empowered by the Spirit, and although you fail, gradually you become more like Jesus. If you follow the law, you can sometimes feel quite superior. Look at me. I'm so good. I kept that law. I'm so clever. But the law will always condemn you. In the end, the law will rub your nose in your failure. In fact, look back at chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. I've said some bad things in my time, but I don't think I've ever cursed anyone. To be cursed is incredibly strong, isn't it? In the Bible, cursing is the opposite of blessing. There's a famous blessing in the Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's the experience of God's blessing. God's face turned towards you. God smiling on you. God's curse is what happened to Jesus on the cross. God's face turned away from Jesus. Cut off from God's smile, cut off from God's blessing. That's what will happen to you if you rely on following the law. You will come under God's curse. You will disobey the law. You will not be able to do everything which is written in the book of the law. You will therefore deserve God's punishment. You will earn a place in hell. You will be under God's curse. Don't do that. Don't trust in following the law. Follow the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Say to God, empower me by your Spirit. Lead me by your Spirit. So that I'm led by the Spirit and not under the law. So, we've had live by the Spirit. We've had follow the Spirit. Thirdly, bear the fruit of the Spirit. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. In my garden, I have two lovely apple trees and a pear tree. And do you know what? Those apple trees have never produced a banana in their life. Why not? Because they're apple trees. Apple trees produce apples. They don't produce bananas. Christians produce Jesus fruit. they don't produce devil fruit. Because we're Jesus trees. If you're not a Christian, well, all of us will look at verse 21. Look at verse 21. If you're not a Christian, this is talking to you. End of verse 21. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. There are lots of people like that. People who do not belong to Jesus, they belong to the devil. They're devil trees. Therefore, they produce devil fruit. Verse 19. There's the list of devil fruit. Verse 19 and 20. You can see yourself in that list. You need to ask yourself, am I a Christian? Have I really trusted in Jesus? Because those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You need to ask yourself, has Jesus saved me from hell? Is he really my king? And if you're not a Christian, you need to sort things out tonight. You need to say sorry for your sin. To believe in Jesus. Trust Jesus to save you from hell for heaven. Allow Jesus to rule you as your king. Stop bearing the devil's fruit. And start bearing the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. Against such things there is no law, says verse 23. You're perfectly free to be as loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled, as you like. There's no law against Jesus' fruit. So where are you tonight? Are you a Christian yet? And if you are you living by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit? My guess is most of us here tonight do love Jesus. We do want to follow him. We know that we let him down. We're just so grateful for the cross and for God's mercy, which goes on forgiving us again and again and again. Verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit. It's assuming that we do. Since we live by the Spirit. And we do, don't we? By God's grace. By and large, we live by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, what? Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Go on as you are, Christian believer. Go on being led by the Spirit. Keep in step with him. Don't let the devil drag you out of step with the Spirit. Stay close to Jesus. Keep following him. Keep loving him. Keep trusting him. Keep inviting him to rule your life, to empower your life by his Holy Spirit, so that you become more like him. Let's pray. Father, when we read a passage like this, we're all convicted of our sin. Lord, we know that we follow our sinful natures day in, day out, and we bear the fruit of the sinful nature so often. And Lord, we want to repent of our sins. And we thank you so much for Jesus, that he died on the cross and paid for all our sin and dealt with our sin once and for all. Thank you, there is no condemnation for us tonight. Thank you that we are new people, that we are totally free in Christ. And Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us and empower us and bear fruit in our lives so that we are like Jesus more and more, day by day. So please come to us, we pray. Do this for us so that we may live lives which please you and glorify Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.